I'm glad to be here. I know you enjoyed the good song service. So now, how many of you have had the COVID so far? Let's see your hands. How many? Over half of you. I'm telling you, that stuff nearly killed me. I'm sincere. It almost got me. Most of you know about what size I've been down through the years because you've seen me a number of times. When I was at my worst, I didn't weigh about 152 pounds. That's definitely a kill. But God had mercy upon me. Apparently he's not through with me yet. Open your Bibles, please. The Luke's Gospel. And I want to encourage you to be here this evening. What time is the service?
6 o'clock.
Please come to the service this evening. Not because I'm preaching, but because of what I am preaching. I'm going to be preaching on Paul's thorn in the flesh. And hopefully by the time I finish the message this evening, you will know whether you have a thorn in the flesh or not. So be here this evening. Please, please come this evening, 6 o'clock. All right. Luke chapter 1. We love you people here at Morningstar. We love your pastor and his family. Your pastor's been a real friend to me over the years. I've been preaching for him for a long time. I guess the first time I ever preached for you was when you pastored south of Augusta, right? We've had some great times together. Luke chapter 1. I begin reading with verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Now you find over here in verse 36 where Elizabeth was Mary's cousin. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in the womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. He had more joy before he got here than most of us have had since we've been here. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believe, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. The key verse in our text is verse 47. Mary said, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. I'm preaching with the help of God this morning on the joyful Christian. Mary was a joyful Christian. Are you? God wants me and you to be joyful Christians. As I lead us in a word of prayer, as I pray audibly, would you pray in your heart? Pray that God will strengthen me and give me the grace to preach. And I need your prayers now because that COVID really damaged my lungs, and I have a hard time sometimes trying to get my breath when I'm preaching or praying. So please pray in your heart as I pray. Ask God to help me be a blessing to you. I want to be a blessing to you. I don't want to be here preaching, just be preaching. I want to be of a help to you. God, now Father and our God in heaven, God, Father, thank you for the privilege to pray. Thank you, God, Father, for your son, Jesus. Thank you for saving us, Jesus. Thank you for saving my soul. There's one that lost got saved, that soul right here this morning. Please don't let anyone in here die without God and go to hell. Father, thanks for God, this church family. Thanks to this pastor now. Bless him and his family. Bless his ministry. Give him wisdom to continue to pastor this church. Thanks for this beautiful auditorium. Thanks for these, our precious brothers and sisters in Christ. Please see to it that everyone comes this morning and this evening to get spiritual help. Oh, God, please help your people. Now, God, help us to be joyful Christians. Help us to let others see Jesus in us. Oh, God, thank you, Father, that it's the Christ life for the self life. So help me, God, reckon myself dead. Get out of your way. And let you do the preaching. After all, Jesus said, for it is not Jesus speak, but the Spirit of my Father speaketh in you. Now, Father, you know my health. You know my condition. Please strengthen me right now. Please strengthen me. Please help me to be able to preach. Please. Father, we thank you for what you do. Please heal the sick in this church family according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Not too many years ago, four teenage boys stood before a judge, and that for having beat up a poor elderly man for just $1.76. The judge says, boys, why did you do it? Why in the world did you do it? And one of them boys said, because there was just nothing else to do. We got bored and just wanted something to do, that's all. How sad. We meet a lot of people these days who are bored. Doesn't have to be that way. Maybe wasn't bored. She said, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Rejoice. She wasn't bored. Again, on one of our college campuses here in America, not too many years ago, there were some students who entered a contest to write a definition of life for the college newspaper. I'm going to give you three that one honorable mention. It probably shocked you just like it did me. One said, life is a joke. That isn't even funny. Another one said, life is a jail sentence that we get for the crime of being born. A third one said, life is a disease for which the only cure is death. My, how bleak, how depressing is an outlook on life like that. Maybe certainly didn't have that kind of a mindset. Again, she said, my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. Maybe didn't have a bank account. Yet she said, my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. Mabry Potter didn't have a large wardrobe, yet she said, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Mabry didn't have an automobile, yet she said, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Mabry didn't have a typewriter, telephone, a TV, or computer, smartphone, yet she said, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Mabry wasn't engaged to the city banker or the country rancher. Yet she said, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Then why was Mabry such a joyful Christian when she didn't have the luxuries of life that you and I have? I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to give you five sources of joy in Mabry's life. First of all, Mabry knew the joy of salvation. After all, that's where it starts. That's where mine started, was when I got saved. I joined the church baptized when I was probably around 10 years old. I walked in the baptistry, dry center, walked out the other end, a wet center. Still lost. But when I was 20 years old, we had a revival at our church. We had morning and night services, and I got saved in one of the morning services. I still remember the preacher who preached. His name was B. Condon Puckle. Most all of you know Estes Puckle. Estes was his cousin. B. Condon Puckle used to pastor Balfour Baptist Church up here, Hendersonville. I never seen God move in such power as he did that morning, not before nor since. Got to the invitation. I remember the song, Spirit of the Living God fall fresh on me. I sat on the front pew. Normally sit in the back, but I sat on the front pew this time. And I had my hymnal trying to sing. And when we came to the word, Spirit of the Living God fall fresh on me, just like that, that's what he did. Came under deep conviction. I started wrestling with that. And I thought, well, if my mama would go down there and kneel and pray, I would. She didn't know what I was thinking. She sat in four or five pews behind me. But I had no more thought that than here come a woman down the aisles. I turned and looked, see who it was. You guessed it. It was my mama. She got on her knees, started praying. I said, this is it. I closed my hymnal, went and got on my knees on the other end of the communion table, and from my heart I said, God, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. Jesus, please come in my heart and save me. He did. I knew before I got off my knees that I was saved. I'm glad you can know that you know that you know that you know. That if you were to die today, you'd go straight to heaven. If you don't know that, then you better do business with God. I mean, why go to hell when you go to heaven? So she knew the joy of salvation. You say, wait a minute, Mabry was the mother of our Lord. You mean she had to get saved? Yes, just like you and I had to get saved. She said, my spirit has rejoiced in God, my who? Savior. That didn't know the fact that she got saved. See, she didn't go to heaven because she gave birth to Jesus. She went to heaven because Jesus gave birth to her. She got born again. Joy of salvation. Are you saved? Daddy, mama, husband, wife, all you boys and girls, are you saved? Are you born again? If you were to die today, where would you go? Boy, it pains me in the heart. Oh, it pains me in the heart to see so many people die without God and go to hell. That's one thing I beg God for every day. I say, oh, God, please save the millions in this country lost without going to hell and all over the world. If you know anything about God in this Bible, you know most people are lost. Lost. So I ask you again, are you saved? Do you know the joy of salvation? Secondly, she needed the joy of surrender. God told Mary his will for her life. She didn't drink out the traces. No, she said in verse 38, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." Handmaid means a bond slave, a willing slave. God told Mary his will for her life. She surrendered. Her surrender was costly because she would be showing soon and she wasn't married. So the tongues would start wagging. And I know they did because of what some of those religious Jews said in John 8:41. Looking at Jesus, they said, "We be not born of fornication." You know what they were implying. They were implying that he was. But those of us who are saved and read the Bible, study the Bible, know that man had nothing to do with it. God planted that divine seed in her womb. See. But I believe Mary had a stigma attached to her name for the rest of her life. Surrender can be costly. I know when God saved my soul, there's a lot of the friends that I used to run with before I got saved. Of course, they didn't want anything else to do with me, and thank God for that. I didn't want anything to do with them neither, but to win them to God. But boy, when I answered the call to preach and got on fire for God, then even some of my own kin folks and even some Christians didn't like me. You get on fire for God and really live for God, you're going to find that there are even some people in church that ain't going to like you. You know, they don't want you to get on fire. If you're lukewarm, okay, that's all right with them. If you get on fire, the next thing you know, see, your life reproves them. She knew the joy of surrender. Reminds me of what I've been told is a true story. One time, they were having a church service at this given church, and during the service, a full-blooded Indian came into the service and sat down on the back pew. When the preacher got done, the preacher gave the invitation, down the aisle, the full-blooded Indian came. He took the pastor by the hand. He said, "God wanted Indian to give tomahawk." So he gave his tomahawk to God. Went back and sat down. No peace of mind, no peace of heart. Came back down there and took the preacher by the hand again and said, "God wanted Indian to give bow and arrow." So he gave his bow and arrow to God. Went back, sat down, still no peace of mind, no peace of heart. He came back down and took the pastor by the hand again and said, "God wanted Indian to give pony." So he gave his pony to God. Went back and sat down, still no peace of mind, no peace of heart. Came back down and took that preacher by the hand again. He said, "God wanted Indian to give wife." So he gave his wife to God. Went back, sat down, still no peace of mind, no peace of heart. He came back down there one more time and took the preacher by the hand and said, "God wanted Indian to give Indian." He got peace of mind then. Woo! That's what God wanted. He wanted Indian. He wants me. He wants you. Paul commended those in Macedonia, and then he said they first gave of themselves to the Lord. That's what God wants me, wants you. Reminds me of another true story. One time this young fella got saved, and you know, sometimes a person gets saved and they'll just stand out, you know, like a neon light. And this young fellow was of that nature. Boy, he fell in love with Jesus. Loved Jesus with all his heart. Come up in a very poor family. His daddy and mama were very poor. And so in one of the services when the offering plate was being passed, when the offering plate came to him, he started weeping and crying, tears falling off his face. And I overheard that little boy say, "Jesus, you know I love you, but Jesus, we're poor. I wish I had some money to give you, but we're so poor." But before he passed that offering plate on, folks, he set it down on the floor. He took his shoes off, and he got in that offering plate and said, "Jesus, I'll just give you me." You better believe that was one offering that God was satisfied with. Amen. One thing to put some money in that offering plate, it's a horse of another color to get in there yourself. But as a joy and surrender, I don't regret that I surrendered to God, and I've had a lot of health problems, breakdowns, and a lot of things. I'm still excited about Jesus. Amen. I'm 76 years old, got one foot in the grave and one out, and I'm still enjoying the Christian life. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. I still got something to shout about it. Praise the Lord. We don't have to let the devil steal our joy. Amen. Joy of salvation. Are you saved? Joy of surrender. Are you surrendered to God? Well, I like this next point. The joy of sharing. Once God told her that she was going to give birth to Jesus, she made haste, the Bible says, in verse 39. Boy, she went in the hill country and she went to the house of Elizabeth to tell Elizabeth that she's going to give birth to Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad that you and I have a birth we share if you're born again. Amen. She went in that house and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And little John the Baptist in her womb leaped for joy. But you know, she could have done this. She could have gotten a corner somewhere and hid and said, "I'm showing and I'm not going out and let people be wagging their tongues about me. I'm not going out the door." No, she didn't put her light on the bushel. She put it up on the lampstand where all could see it. The Bible says, "Let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let your light shine. Let it shine. Amen. In other words, share Jesus with others. Let others see Jesus in you. Now I keep tracks in all my suit coat pockets. This one there that I wrote myself. But anyway, I keep tracks. And all my suit coat pockets and all my vehicles and pass about everywhere I go, everywhere. We live about 3 miles from Malden. So we do our grocery shopping in Malden, do our banking in Malden. And every time I go to Malden, I pass out track, really. Now, I don't push myself on the people. I just simply, you know, I just say, I wrote this, you might enjoy reading this, hand it to them. Sometimes they'll go read it, you know, like in a restaurant, they'll go sit down at the table and read it, and then they'll come back over where I'm at and say something about the tract. I've even had them do this. I don't pass out tracts for this reason, but I'm just telling you, God will bless you. I've had them come back over there and pay for my meal. I'm telling you, you can't beat living for God. But I pass out so many tracts. I've been stopped from passing out tracts in 5 different Cracker Barrels. I used to get aggravated and I would fuss at them, and God reproved me for that. He said, "Be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove." So now, if I'm in a Cracker Barrel or any restaurant and they stop me from passing out tracts, I just comply. I just say, okay. And I put them up. But next time I'm in that Cracker Barrel or restaurant If I can catch that manager with his back turned to me, I'm going to start passing out. And if he ever looks my way, I'll put him up. It's an exciting life, folks. Don't miss it. I never forget. Hadn't been too long ago. I went to Home Depot. We got one close to the house, and I have to go over there sometime and get supplies just like you do. But when I go over there to get some supplies, and that's what I was doing on this given day, I'll pass out tracts while I'm there. And so I walked in this Home Depot, passing out tracts, and I walked up this older fella, and man taller than I am. I went to hand him a tract. He said, "No, I don't need that." And I said, "Well, I know one thing. Jesus loves you and died for you, and you ain't believe what the man said." He said, "I know one thing. If you voted for Donald Trump, you're going to hell." I said, "What's that got to do with getting saved?" If I'd have thought it, I'd probably have said, "I know one thing, if I'd voted for that woman that ran against him, I'd have sure went to hell." Woo, having a good time there. I remember one time I was passing out some tracts, and this was in a Cracker Barrel, I believe it was, and went and handed him a tract, and he was really, boy, he was cold towards me. No. And but this was one of those days I was on cloud nine. My feet wouldn't hardly touch the ground. I was so happy in Jesus. So I thought, I ain't going to take this sitting down. I'm going back over there. I walked right back over there. I didn't fuss at him. I just walked over there, and I was smiling from ear to ear, and I do have a lot of smiling equipment. I walked up to him. I said, "Sir, I just wanted to tell you that Jesus is more real to me than the skin on your flesh than the flesh on your bones." I could have said Jesus is more real to me than the skin on my flesh on my bones. No, I said the skin on your flesh on your bones, because I knew if I did that every time you took a bath, he'd remember what I said. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. Who said you had to endure the Christian life? She knew the joy of salvation. She knew the joy of surrender. She knew the joy of sharing. Fourthly, she knew the joy of the Scripture. She's full of the Word of God. We know she's full of the Word of God because of Mary's Magnificat, and by that I mean her song down here. See, down here in verse 49, she said, "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." And then, "His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength." All these are quotes from the Old Testament. But how did she know so much of the Word of God when probably her and Joseph didn't have a copy of the Word of God? Now, folks, there were no printing presses back then. And common people normally didn't have a copy of the Word of God. You know, the Word of God back in those days was a crude thing. Papers. Scroll rolled up from the ends. Doubtful they had a copy of the Word of God. Well, then how did she know so much of the Word of God? I tell you exactly how. They had synagogues. And the people went to the synagogues like you and I go to church, and then they'd have what's called a reader. They would stand up before the people and read. You read where Jesus did that. When he went into the synagogue in Capernaum, I believe it was. They handed him the prophet Isaiah, and he began to read. No doubt, maybe when she went to the synagogue, she probably sat right on the edge of the seat, so to speak, and took in all she could get, and it showed up in a song. Hey, you want a song? You stay in this book, you'll have one. It'll create a song. Oh, I thank God for my King James Bible. I like what Dr. Harold B. Seitler said. He said, if you don't have a King James Bible, you need to go buy your Bible because you don't have one. That's right. I believe the King James Bible is the Bible God meant for you and I to have for the English-speaking people. You know what that NIV stands for? Non-inspired version. She's full of the Word of God. Reminds me of Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. Jeremiah said, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was the joy and rejoicing of my heart. I can honestly say some of the best times I've ever had in my life is reading my Bible. I try to read it every morning. Read the Bible and pray. Read the Bible and pray. You read the Bible and pray every day, you probably won't be backsliding tomorrow or the next day either. Stay in this book. You can't go through this book without it going through you because it's alive. It's alive. All right, I need to hurry. Last of all, she not only used the joy of salvation, the joy of surrender, the joy of sharing, the joy of the scriptures, but she knew the joy of the Spirit. She was filled with the Spirit. The Bible says in verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Mary knew what it was to be filled with the Spirit. It seems like everybody in this chapter was filled with the Spirit. In verse 15, you find John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost. Then in verse 41, you find his mother Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Then in verse 67, you find Zacharias, his daddy was filled with the Holy Ghost. Folks, that's 100%. Daddy was filled with the Spirit. Mama was filled with the Spirit. The only child filled with the Spirit. You let every family in this church get filled with the Spirit of God, daddy, mama, children and all. And I'm telling you, when we get to church, nobody has to prime you. You'll be ready to worship. And I'm not talking about wildfire. I can't stand that. No, some of that stuff you see on television, No. But I'm not scared of the real thing. If you were to jump up right now and start running up and down these aisles and shouting, I might get right behind. I like it. It don't bother me if it's real. Talking about being filled with the Spirit of God. I close with this. Back when God saved me, they had a big crusade in Turner County, Aspen, Georgia, about 40 miles from where I was born and raised. B. Conrad Parker, the one who preached the revival I got saved in, he's the one who preached that crusade. Put up a huge tent. I remember 25 people got saved in one night. Now, I was already saved, but I'd only been saved about a year. I was just a novice. But I remember one night, after he preached, some of us went to the altar and got on our knees and them wood shavings on that tent. And I got down there, and I remember I prayed from the bottom of my heart. I was so hungry and thirsty, I knew I was saved, but I really needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Then I got up off my knees, and you know how people hang around and talk before they get in the car and go home. So we was talking one thing and another, and I noticed something got to happening on the inside of me. I began to experience something I'd never experienced before. Y'all are just really filling me up. Filling me with the Spirit. And I never forget there was two young preachers, one of them was older than me and one of them was younger than me. They come up to me and said, let's go down yonder where all them boys and girls go to get the hamburgers and hot dogs and milkshakes and cokes and get them to come this pep meeting tomorrow night. I said, let's go. So we jumped in my car. I'm driving. Two preachers sitting by me, three good Christian ladies in the back seat. We're on our way, downtown Ashburn. We came to the red light. And I started getting so full, till I thought, I'm not going to be able to hold this. I felt like I'm going to bust. And then I said, they didn't know what I was thinking, but I said, Lord, you ain't going to make me shout in front of these people, are you? He didn't pay me no mind. He just kept fitting me up. Now I'm telling you, by the time we got that red light, I started shouting. I must have shouted 2 hours. Once I started, I couldn't stop and didn't want to stop. And I know mine was real because most people try to work theirs up and I try to work mine down. But I couldn't hold it down. So I shouted and shouted and shouted. And we got to that place where them young people was at. And they was all in there. And what it was one of these open air eating places. You could walk in from any angle. It was not closed in. And so there's tables all in there and chairs and people sitting all in there, you know, young people all in there eating. We got out of the car. I was so full until I started running in there. I ran in there and I was running so hard. When I got to this table, I just slid on my knees up to the table. And I never forget what I said. I slid up that table and said, oh, God, move in. Oh, God, move in. Oh, God, move in. He did. He moved in and they moved out. That's so much of the power. God fell under that roof until man, they got in the cars and was going in every direction. Even the manager shut up the place where you buy your food and drinks, and he was gone. When we opened our eyes, there wasn't nobody in there. They gave us the whole place. I mean, they were gone. Well, it's a sight in life. Don't miss it. Are you a joyful Christian? Do you know the joy of salvation? Do you know the joy of surrender and the joy of sharing? The joy of the scriptures, do you know the joy of the Spirit of God? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? You know, you could have been filled back yonder a year, 10 years, 20 years ago, but I don't mean you feel now. You find that the Bible is one baptism of the Holy Spirit, but there's many fillings. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine when it says, but be you what? Filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Oh, you've been so attentive. We love you. Would you stand on your feet? Heads bowed, eyes closed, musicians are called. I have a word of prayer with you while they're getting ready. Some of you may want to come on altar while I'm praying. Father, you out in heaven, Father, I cannot thank you enough, Jesus, for saving my own soul. Father, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're the best thing that ever happened to me or ever will happen. Thank for those here that are saved. No doubt most of the people here are saved, but God, there could be somebody here lost. Could be one or two here or even more that's never been saved. Jesus' name, please, God, don't let them die with God and go to hell. Please save them before this service is over. Please, God. That for those of us that are already saved, God, help us surrender all. Help us, dear God, share Jesus with others. Oh, God, speak to our hearts right now. In Jesus' name we pray. We're going to sing. Jenny's got the hymn of invitation. Would you come? This altar is wide open. You may want to join these that's already down here. Would you come? Would you come? Come on.